everybody, and welcome to the NestroProds.com Video Games Podcast. The latest podcast brought to you by a fucking sponsor, but today it's brought to you by Tiger Direct. They have stuff, computers. Take a look at the bottom page or any of the sponsor ads and buy that stuff.
I literally just got something from Tiger Direct.
Yes.
Gonna save my computer files.
Yeah. And, if you don't feel like giving money to them, you feel like giving money to us for clothing, go to NestroProds.com/store featuring our new Because Japan shirt. And the hottest selling item in there, in that it has sold stuff. Please check it out and buy some of our stuff. Let us know. Submit designs. Go to desktopprods.com/forums and put stuff in the teacher design thread, and we'll make it into a shirt and pay you. Stuff.
Yeah, so far one person has submitted a design, and they've earned $3.
Yeah. And we also have Extra Life, desktopprods.com/Extra Life is all in word. Donate some money and help the Asian kids. I'm your host, the Dead Man. Join me today. We have Obi-Wan.
Hello.
And Jax.
Hello!
We may sound a bit different because we're using two microphones in the place of the things and not our usual setup. Huh. It's all in one room.
Yeah, and I just went out and I borrowed a new two mic set so we could actually make this freaking work.
Yeah, we tried it before with two mics and it didn't work as well.
Because they weren't on the same input.
Good. Yeah. Well, whatever. Yeah, Bubba, you've been playing.
Amnesia: The Dark Descent. You can check out the Let's Play now at DeathStoreClaws.com, at least the test version. Hopefully we'll be doing some more before Shax and Deadman leave.
Fuck, dude, that game.
Oh man, it scares the shit out of me, but that's why I love it, because nothing scares me anymore, but playing that game does. And for that I love it, but I also hate it because I spend the entire time terrified and not wanting to continue and whining like a little bitch, mostly.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure, like, on the test recording that we did, the only audio for me and Kitty that we ever come across was our terrified screams. Everything was like, OH MY GOD!
That and Ninja Kitty telling me what she saw where I could drive and do stuff. But yeah, it is a great game. Too bad it's not on the Humble Indie Bundle has ended, so if you didn't buy it there, enjoy spending $20 on it. I spent like $8 on it and like, I don't know how many other games. A lot of other games.
Like $1 at 4 games.
Yeah. I got like, I guess I got 8 because I beat the average. Beating the average. Yeah. Yeah, I literally went 1 cent over the average. that shows how affluent I am right now. Well, I paid 1 cent over.
Sucker.
Maybe I'm the sucker, but now that made the average go up, so I would also have to pay more. By the way, thanks a lot, Notch, for spending like $12,000 on the game. I'm sure that, or sorry, on the bundle, I'm sure that helped the average a lot.
Fucking Notch, man.
That could have counted towards it, right? Because $12,000 has to, no matter what the average is, has to boost it way up there.
I guess that there's, like, too many people spending a penny on it.
Yeah, if you spend less than a dollar on ground, actually, it'll do, actually the games in speed.
Well, then don't do that. I mean, why put it on there as an option, and then don't like it when people do it?
I can actually get my games on Steam.
Yeah.
I didn't know I could do that.
Yeah, they give you Steam keys.
I feel like I'm going to keep getting quiet because I keep turning to actually look at Deadman when I talk to him. Although I am holding the mic, so I could always just do this.
Yeah.
if I were smart.
But you're not.
I guess I want to leave Shax the ability to interject because we have to share a mic while Deadman is bogarting his own.
Host him, bitch.
So, now that we've gotten way off topic on Amnesia: The Dark Descent, yeah, overall, it's a great game, it scares the living shit out of me, and you can keep playing custom stories, although some people try and charge, like, $30 for them, which is more than Amnesia costs.
Fuck them.
Yeah, I like the idea of custom stories being free, especially depending on how much work you put into them, because some people, you know, they get voice actors together, they put a lot of work into it, but some people, it's like, okay, I wrote some lines of code, and I put in some text, and now pay me money.
Charging $30 if you're going through all that work. I mean, yes, yeah, it's more than the game, but, you know, these are just people that don't do this kind of stuff or whatever, you know, it's probably harder on them to make that stuff, so. I mean, I wouldn't buy any of them, but. Yeah.
I guess if I went to the extent to make a mod with all sorts of voice actors and everything, I would probably want a bit of money for it. I wouldn't charge that extent. I'd charge like 5 cents. Pay me 5 cents.
Yeah, because like with the custom story stuff, are you like, actually just like going in and recoding your entire new thing, or do you get, or do like did they release an SDK for it?
I think there's an SDK.
Yeah, so you should not charge more than the actual game costs if you're using the SDK.
Yeah, the only thing is like you can add stuff like I guess you would be able to animate your own monsters if you tried hard enough. If you went into all that. And, like, yeah, some people get a bunch of people to voice act, which I accept that that's a lot of extra work, and that really is going the extra mile. I guess I'm going to move on from Amnesia, though. Watch my Let Me Play That For You videos on deathdoorpods.com, and hopefully you enjoy those, enjoy watching me shit myself in terror. The only other game I've played from the Humble Indie Bundle 5 is Limbo. And basically, I went to an extent and I got stuck and I haven't played it since. it's a fun little game, you know, got the 2D side-scroller coming back, it's got a good style to it.
It's got an achievement for going to the left at the very beginning?
I wish I had known that at the very beginning. But now I'm like, what we do?
So beat it and go back.
I guess it's my only option, beat it and go back. Well, especially, I was just at one point, please don't tell me how to do this, I'll figure it out, but, like, there's all these people running around who are trying to kill you, and, if you advance, two bear traps swing down in opposite directions, and I can't seem to escape them, no matter what I try doing.
That seems familiar to me, like, I've been there before, but there's a lot of stuff like that going on in that game, and, you know, that's what you say.
So, outside the Humble Indie Bundle, I just played through Batman Arkham Asylum.
Oh, what do you think of it?
It was good. The one issue I had with the game was that, after they put so much work into stylizing it and giving it their specific graphic look, they decided to make you spend a huge amount of the game in detective mode, which basically puts, like, a blue filter over that.
I don't really mind that, because, especially with the first game, you can really see that metallic look that the Unreal Engine?
Yeah, Unreal.
Yeah, Unreal Engine gives to it. Kind of like Gears, but you know, more metallic. You kind of, yeah.
Yeah, one of the things that I, like, one of the main problems that I had with those games, particularly, like, any game really that uses the Unreal Engine, is just the texture popping and just the ragdolling on everything. Because, like, there have been multiple times in that game, like, every time you clear out a room, you finish the guy off, and, like, zooms into a dramatic camera angle, you always see him, like, clutch his head, then bounce off something, and then, like, his arm clips through itself, and he's, like, poking his elbow out through his ears.
I mean, this is fine to me when games do that, but, like, with the Unreal Engine, it's just everything has a look of either being wet metal or wet metal.
Yeah, it's just, that's never bothered me, because it's all, it wasn't, like, perpetually raining there or something?
There was,
It's fucking Gotham, dude.
Right.
But, like, the thing that always, like, those games, they do a really great job of letting you feel like you're Batman.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
But then it always drags me out of it. It's like, oh, man, this is fucking awesome. Oh, wait, it's a video game.
Which, yeah, it's kind of what detective mode is doing. Like, you're not actually acting as a good detective. You're, having a little screen come up that does all the work for you. Which, I guess, to some extent, Batman does, but not so much.
I feel like with the Hitman going to have something like that, in the new Hitman game, he's going to have some kind of thing, I don't remember what it's called, but basically it's his, he is thinking like, alright, if I was that guard, he's going to come around the corner this way, and you're able to tell where that guy's going to come. That is more gamey to me than Batman having this technology made for his suit that makes everything detectable, which it is still gamey, but
yeah.
at least I, in my mind, I'm able to just push that part of thinking about it being gamey away.
Like, Batman has had stupider shit than that.
Yeah, he's had a bat bike and a bat bike.
Bat credit card.
Yes! Fuck that.
I guess the one thing I gotta say is the scarecrow parts. I both like and hate them. I like seeing the hallucinations that Bruce Wayne has.
Mm-hmm.
And how things get fucked up, and how you, like... I guess I won't get... Well, fucking, it's Arkham Asylum, I'll get spoilery. How you see Commissioner Gordon dead, and stuff like that. But then, once you get to the boss battle type thing with Scarecrow, it kind of sucks.
Yeah.
It's like, why does Scarecrow get to be in my head as this giant monster thing that will literally kill me?
Because he's controlling hallucinations.
Well, how is he controlling the hallucination if all he did was subject you to some gas?
Comics.
Yeah.
Exactly, that's the only answer.
I mean...
Maybe he laced it with nanomachines, who the fuck knows?
I mean, what can you say about that? Because, like, now that you're talking about it, now I hate it. I don't like that. I thought it was cheesy, but I liked it. And now, yeah, what you're saying is, like, that makes too much sense for me to argue against it.
But otherwise, yeah, it's a great game. I enjoyed the combat. I enjoyed the stealth elements.
I know some people didn't like the idea that they were kind of given using the Scarecrow as a way to give you the backstory of Bruce Wayne and how he became Batman with his parents dying and everything. And some people didn't like that because it's like, well, we know Batman. We know why he became Batman. We get it. Where I thought it actually was good because that's always something that's always on Bruce Wayne's mind,
yeah,
no matter what. So being that the Scarecrow, you know, poisoned him to, you know, bring out his fears and stuff, naturally that is something that would be a big emphasis that would happen.
Yeah,
I have to agree that, one, if you're being poisoned by a Scarecrow, you're going to see your most fearful, most traumatic moments, so that is, of course, something you're going to see is the night your parents got killed, and it's somewhat your fault. And the other big thing is, it doesn't just show, you know, this is why Batman became Batman, it shows that he's still struggling with it, and how he views it now as an adult, which is probably different than how he viewed it as a child, but...
Yeah. Like, I'm actually kind of surprised that with that game, they didn't actually just go back further, just have him, like, actually falling down the well.
Yeah, but, like, I don't think we need to see falling down the well again.
No, but, like, anytime Batman talks about, anytime Bruce Wayne talks about when he was scared, two moments brought up. Falling down the well and seeing the bats flying at him, and his parents dying. Those are the two biggest moments of fear for him. So I can understand showing off the, his parents dying. But if it was, like, really bringing out his deepest, darkest fears, then it would, in some way, incorporate all bats.
Wasn't there scenes in the game after you're starting to get poisoned by the Scarecrow when you're walking around through those corridors and stuff that bats are flying at him? I don't remember. I can remember where there's points where he would, like, walk through some, like, double doors or something and kind of, like, block, you know, put his hand up and, like, bats would come flying at him and he's flying.
I think that might happen the first time you get poisoned. I'm not entirely sure, though.
Yeah, same.
I just played it recently. It's just it didn't stick in my memory. But yeah, I finally played it. I'm no longer way behind on the times. I can move on to Arkham City in the next 3 years or so.
Yeah, the time Arkham World gets announced.
Look at you guys, I just played Arkham City!
Oh, for sure. It's so 2011. We're too busy playing, like, Arkham Planet on fucking Xbox 1080.
Yeah, I've played a lot of bad Batman games in the past.
There's been a lot of bad Batman games in the past.
It's good to finally play that one that's kind of good.
Yeah, remember, like, in terms of Batman games, the only one I actually remember playing was, like, the Batman Begins tie-in game, where Batman spent the entire time running around like he was soaking wet. Like, his armor just, like, going like this the entire time. That's how he ran. Like, I know it plays extremely well, but it's not the only podcast. But for those of you who played the Batman Begins tie-in game, you know what it's you know what I'm talking about.
There was a tiger. You guys remember the tiger games?
No.
You don't remember them at all?
I remember the tiger.
Okay. Tigers were these little handheld games that had, like, one screen on it, and kind of, like, you'd have, like, a background to it. And I had one for Batman, for the 1989 movie version, and there's Joker standing on one side, Batman standing on the other, and Joker would, like, shoot things at you, and you had to, like, either jump up, you didn't move, your character stayed in that spot, and you could either jump up over, like, the bullets, or duck under it, or something like that, and you'd throw boomerangs at him and go back and forth.
Is that sort of like what used to be sold in McDonald's Happy Meals when I was a kid?
No, no, it's a little bit more...
Is it like Game & Watch?
I'm thinking like, those end pads or whatever they're called, but not probably as sophisticated. Like, it's, we're gonna have to Google these afterwards so you can see it, but, they're really cheap and horrible, and, yeah, that's how you did your Batman, you jumped up and down and threw stuff at him as he threw stuff at you, and that was it. Yeah. Easily the worst Batman game ever created.
But yeah, since we're done with Arkham Asylum, I believe I'm actually done.
Okay, Jack, what have you been playing?
Well, I haven't really been playing much. Let's see, before I came over here on vacation, I was playing a little bit more Skyrim. Hardly getting into that again, which sucks, because I want to. I got new armor that I really like, but the game keeps crashing out onto my desktop. Like, every so often. I found that it usually happens when I'm in a fight with other people. So, yeah, that's something that sucks about it, my mind. And then other than that, BioWare has finally started with character transfers on Star Wars The Old Republic. So I got all my characters transferred over to the new server, and I brought my original character over to that server also, so I got all my characters together now. It's kind of nice. I got on there, and it was nice being on Tatooine and seeing more than 5 people there ever. There's like 50 people, and I'm like, alright, I can deal with this. But yeah, I hardly touched it. I mainly just got all my characters over there, and that was it. So hopefully now that they're doing these character transfers for free, people start coming back, people start wanting to do more things of like heroic missions and flashpoints and stuff like that, which would be really nice. And since I've been here, I've been spending a lot of time in my hotel, and so I've been playing Game Dev Story on my iPhone.
Oh, I've never heard of that actually. What is it?
It's kind of cool. It's a little 8-bit game. I'm trying to pull up my iPhone right now so I can show it to you. It's like you got these little sprites, and you make video games. And, yeah, you have to do all kinds of different stuff. You have to work on, like, the sound, the graphics, the fun, and, you know, you have a budget for everything. You have to...
Is there a fun stat?
Yeah.
Does it have a stash rating?
A stash rating?
Yeah, it was from the Mario games where, like, you had a rating for your mustache.
No. But, you have to be able to purchase the licenses for different consoles and stuff like that. You have to be able to pay your employees. And you have to have different kind of... You gotta have your coders, the designers, the music people. You can hire outside of the company for different things to get better stuff, but it costs a lot of money.
Is there a button that says outsource to Japan? And the game comes back and you're like, what the fuck is this thing?
No, there's nothing like that.
Why isn't there, damn it? Game Dev Story devs, call us.
Yeah, they've started. They've done other games too. I think called like Race Dev Story or something like that, or something like that, or Trek something. You know, bunch of little sprites there, walking around their desks, and that's me right there, big head honcho right there. They're already named. But you can, when you actually make a game, you can name the games and stuff like that, so that's kind of cool. And,
Is there, like, any, like, DLC or mod, anything, so you can actually just make it J-Pod? You know, you just have, like, John Doe in one corner and Cancer Cowboy in the other?
No, not that I know of. I mean, it's an iPhone game, so...
they could have DLC. I mean, iPhone games are a growing market.
I mean, there's a possibility that with updates and stuff that they could have updated it.
Yeah, just contact developers, get and release the SDK.
I very much doubt that many people will be creating a mod, though, for J-Pod. Other than me, who's planning on creating an Oblivion mod, it is Ronald's Lair.
For those of you who know that, but it is highly doubtful, yeah, that people would actually just sort of like, oh man, I want to make J-Pod into a thing.
It'd be kind of cool, I guess. I mean,
yeah, that at like one point your boss gets kidnapped by like a triad leader.
Well, I would make one just to make the game a little bit fucking easier, because I...
I've won awards because there's like the whole thing of like an E3 Expo kind of thing that they got that you can go to every year.
They have a fake E3?
Yeah.
Is it fake exhausting?
It's this game is for real exhausting. Cause it's
I finally got a license for a console that was aging. And, because it was like $10 million or some shit like that. And I'm like, fuck, man, I gotta build my phone and shit. And I finally was able to, for like about 2 years, or start making games for it. And then, like, the last two games, I was making, you know, almost, you know, 1.5 million sold copies for it. And that's like way more than the closest I've ever been for is like 800,000. And, I get like about $10 million in my bank account at a time, and I win awards for like best design and stuff like that, but I can't get like game of the year or anything. And I'm like, motherfucker, like what am I supposed to do with this game? So I mean, it is an exhausting game and it's very addictive. And yeah, I mean, I don't remember how much I paid for it. I've had it for a year or two now, or however long it's come out. So it's somewhere between probably 99 cents to $5. Defending, especially now that it's such an old game, probably get cheaper on my iPhone. But yeah, anyone out there that has it and likes, it does a decent job of giving you an idea of what it's like to make a video game. I gotta say, for being just a stupid little game. So if anyone out there that's interested in that kind of stuff and wants a cheap little game for their phone, that's addictive as fuck. I definitely gotta pick it up.
Okay.
And that's really it for me.
Okay, so I guess on me. So, I also purchased Humble Limbo 5, and so I've been playing some Limbo, great games. I really do like the art style, like the art direction of the entire game is fucking fantastic.
Yeah.
I've also been playing some Super Brothers Sword and Sorcery EP, which is bizarre. So this is a PC port of an iPhone game that was released a while back, and it's kind of like a point-and-click adventure game thing, but with a really bizarrely pixelated art style. Like, the thing is, like, every single thing, the environment is all, like, beautifully mapped out. Like, there's one bit, I only played the first level of it, there's one bit where, like, there's this giant head made of stone that looks fucking amazing. But all the guys, like, their entire bodies are, like, 1 pixel, like, 5 pixels thick. Their heads are, like, 1 pixel big, their arms are 1 pixel, like, width wide. And it all looks really bizarre. Like, you have to actually look at something for a couple seconds before you can actually figure out what it is. Like, I saw this thing, it was, like, in, like, 5 legs, 3 eyes, and it was, like, really, like, undulating all over the place. It turns out it was a wolf.
Because everybody knows that wolves have 5 legs and 3 eyes.
Yeah. Yeah, but the art style is very bizarre, but I really like it. It's a really cool thing. You haven't really seen anything like it. And, well, the gameplay is very simple. It's pretty cool. Like, it all is kind of based around sound. Like, one of the big things was, you boot it up, and it says, Sword and Sorcery EP. Sounds and music by this guy. In font almost the same size as the title font. Yeah, like, there's the actual game developer company, like, Capybara, I think, they just have one little icon down in the lower right corner. But the guy who did the sound and music, named, like, fucking byline name.
So, sound and music are a big thing in that game.
Yeah. Yeah, so, Sword and Sorcery, it's pretty cool. I'm not sure how well it actually translated onto PC, because I never actually played the iPhone game. But, just from what I've played so far, it seems like something that needs a touchscreen to play it properly.
Now, would you say that the whole reason why the pixel art is so bad, with, like you were saying about the wolf, is because are they doing anything for the difference between coming from an iPhone size screen to a TV screen or a laptop screen?
Not really, because it was also released on iPad.
Okay.
So, it's not so much of a compression thing as so much of as it is the art style just for review.
Okay.
But yeah, I dig the art style. It's pretty cool. The gameplay, so to move around at all, you have to click and hold. As it interacts with you, you have to tap it once, like double tap it or something. So, it does have very touchscreen based control scheme. But it's really, and it's weird, like, having that translate into mouse and keyboard.
Well, I mean, to a point, that sounds like Diablo's, controls, where you just
click, hold down the mouse to travel wherever you want to go, and then you click on stuff to pick it up or hold it up and stuff like that.
Oh, but it's not like you click and drag. It's like you click, hold for like 2 seconds, and then he starts moving.
Yeah, that's how that... You don't have to drag... You don't have to click down and drag the mouse to move in Diablo. You just click it, like, hold it over to the corner and just leave it in that one spot and hold down, you know, your left key on the mouse, and then your guy will just continuously walk that way until you let go of it.
Yeah, it's similar, but, like, it's got that, like, little delay thing of when you click, and how long you have to hold before you actually start moving.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that probably is a touchscreen translation thing.
Mm. Yeah, so I also been playing some Psychonauts. That game does not translate well to PC.
All I've heard about Psychonauts is it's like one of the greatest indie games ever.
Would you really call it an indie game? Like, yeah, sure, it's the company's first game, but it's also like it's a Tim Schafer game. It was like,
at the time, it's an old game, right? Isn't it?
Yeah,
I think it was on the PS2.
It was on the original Xbox.
Yeah, so I mean, it's an old game, and I'm sure at that time, you know, there were a small time company.
But I'm pretty sure it was like produced by Majesco.
I don't think producing matters when it comes to an indie developer.
Yeah, I mean... But yeah, Psychonauts. I love Psychonauts when I first played it. It was fucking fantastic, but it needs to be played with controller.
And you can't play it with controller on the PC at all?
You probably can, it just I don't have one.
Oh, okay.
Note to self, before I play Psychonauts, get a controller.
Yeah, or get into your Xbox. I'm pretty sure it's on the games of Bane.
But I've already bought it. I'm not buying it again.
Right, yeah.
I don't buy games twice.
Except for those times that you did.
Okay, The Legend of Zelda.
Super Meat Boy, you got that twice.
Okay, Super Meat Boy I bought twice, and I haven't played it at all. Which is somewhat ridiculous, but it was part of two different Humble Indie bundles, so that's why that happened.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, Second Off is great, and I want to play it on console. Yeah, and then finally, the big thing I've been playing recently, Lone Survivor. So yeah, this is a new game. It's a Jasper Byrne game, as the title screen is quick to tell you. And it's bizarre. It's good, but it's weird.
Bizarre is a pretty broad spectrum. Want to narrow it down a bit?
David Lynch.
David Lynch.
You ever see David Lynch then? Twin Peaks.
I've never watched Twin Peaks.
Okay, so
I've seen part of the first episode. There's a girl that's dead. Everyone cries.
And then a guy, like the guy who's like in his 20s, 60s, like 80s, in a red room with a midget dancing to jazz music. All right,
stop there, because I'd like to one day watch Twin Peaks. See, it's on Netflix. So
her arms bend back.
All right, you spoiler alert.
Well, yeah. So, in the game, something happened to the world. It's never really said what yet. And you are this guy. I'm pretty sure he had like a wife at some point, but now he is just one dude wearing like a surgical mask in living in like one room by himself. And everyone else is either insane or monsters. Or dead. Or both.
I kinda like the unexplained what happened as opposed to I'm alive saying it was a dust storm.
But yeah, like so.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, like, one of the cool things with the game is that it doesn't really tell you much. Like, anything that you need to know, you need to find in the environment. Like, the only thing it tells you to do is how to move and how to open your inventory. Everything else you have to figure out. Like what food does, what sleeping does, what the different pills do, how to go into weapon stance, how to reload your weapon.
Do you know if you can use a controller for this game or not?
I doubt it.
Is it ASW keys? No,
it's deep. No, it's arrow keys. You know, like, you hit left to go left, hit right to go right.
Right.
And then you hit X to do stuff.
Although it's kind of an awkward control setup, the WASD is usually more comfortable. In my mind, at least.
Oh, like, you kind of... It's not really the thing that needs, like, full 3D movement. You're only moving on 2D planes.
Well, I mean... I'm only asking because, like, we were talking yesterday or the day before when we were trying to do the amnesia stuff. Mm-hmm. And I was mentioning that... I can't do those kind of controls, you know, like, I can do, like, the Diablo controls or, like, the most MMO controls. Anything that is mainly the mouse, I can do those kind of controls. Mm. Because, like, with ASW or anything else like that, like, when we were playing Amnesia, or when we were watching Bobby play Amnesia, I was saying that I'd get too scared that I'd just start banging on the keyboard, going,
because you're seeing all, you got 20,000 keys there, and trying to find the right ones. Like, I can't do that, you know?
Why did I take out my lantern? I didn't want to open my inventory.
Like, I would probably just run into the wall nonstop and probably end up looking at the monster at the same time.
But yeah, like, Lone Survivor just never really doesn't really have that problem because, like, all your keys for everything that you're doing, they are pretty far away. So you're not gonna be, so at no point are you going to be like, oh, fuck, something's happening, and then, like, accidentally hit open inventory.
I feel like watching stand-up comedy now.
I need to.
We're going to be doing that tonight. That'll be fun.
I can't wait.
Well, yeah, so, one of the weirder aspects of the game is the pills. So, there are three kinds of pills in that game. Red pills, blue pills, green pills.
If you take the red pill,
you stay awake. If you take the blue pill, when you go to sleep, you end up sitting on a stage in a theater and a guy gives you bullets.
You take the blue pills?
Yes.
Say it more dramatically. If you take the blue pill,
a dude in the theater gives you bullets.
If you take the green pill,
you wake up on a hill where a guy in a box and a guy with a box on his head and a suit is standing there talking to you about philosophy.
Okay, this is fucking weird.
And then you wake up with batteries.
Guy with box charges batteries.
So you none of them are for your health?
No, the only thing, like, sleeping and food is for your health.
But I thought you were saying, like, you're supposed to take the red pill so you don't go to sleep?
Yeah, like, you use the, like, this game is a survival game through and through. Like, you need to eat and sleep regularly to be able to keep alive.
Okay.
And so, it's like, as you're going through, and you're at a place where you can't really get to anywhere you can sleep, you know, you just pop a red pill, you're able to stay awake for a bit longer, so, you know, I don't actually know what sleep deprivation does to you, because I've never actually stayed out long enough to get sleep deprivation. Like, it's usually just, oh, you're tired, then I go over to a mirror and teleport back to my apartment.
It sounds kind of like that Project Zomboid game that I talked about way back when we first started this, because, like, you would have to do stuff, you know, like, the whole idea of that game was like, you'd have to scrounge around to find food and stuff like that, to keep yourself nourished and stuff like that, and be able to sleep, on top of finding stuff to build things, like, you know, you gotta build wood. You'd almost literally have to build wood, like, to put up the doors and stuff like that.
Yeah, it is very much like that game. It's very, if anyone said, like, to me, describe this game without using the word survival or horror, I would say adventure.
Okay.
Because that's a lot of what it is. You, like, go to an area, it's like, oh, wait, I can't get through here. They gotta go back, find, like, the gas cans, you can go over to your apartment and hook it up to your stove, you can cook some meat, and then give that to the evil monster that's guarding the door.
So, do you fight in this game at all?
Yes, you do. But it is ill-advised. So, you have a gun. Perfect. Like, your only weapon is a single gun. The only way to get ammo is by finding it or by taking the blue pill and going to the magical blue pill.
Is there anything telling you of why that happens?
No.
Then at least not yet.
No, just like you have a little instruction thing that gives you vague ideas about what the pills do. Saying, like, oh, the blue pills help you survive, like the red pills help you like the blue pills, help, the green pills help you like the way or something. It is very generic pill talk. But like, whenever you, like, see, like, these pills, like, diet pills, like, they'll help you do this, they'll help you do that.
Right.
These pills do that, but then they never explain that. It's not like the follow-up instruction book with the pills, and pick it up, like, take this one, you wake up on a strange hill where there's a house and a guy with a box on his head, standing on a cliff, staring into the distance, telling you about the boss, but then you get some batteries. Never that, it's just like, hey, these pills help light your way. Yeah, the red pills are the only ones that are just straightforward, like, take these, you won't get tired.
Red pills give you wings.
It seems like, as soon as you said that the red ones were helping you not sleep, it sounded like that the idea was you don't want to sleep in this game.
You do want to sleep.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like the red pills, if you... So,
is there a chance of you getting hurt when you're sleeping?
No.
And
no, like, your apartment is the one safe place that entire game.
Okay, outside of that apartment, can you sleep?
No.
I don't... Then what the fuck are the red pills for? Why do you...
Because are there effects from being awake, kind of like in amnesia with the insanity?
Probably. I haven't actually stayed awake long enough to have that to happen.
Okay.
But, like, the game is all about inching forward very slowly, because in your apartment, there's an old mirror. Whenever you get into that mirror, you are teleported to another mirror.
Really?
Yeah, and so that's the entire game. You just move forward to 1 meter, teleport back to your apartment, like eat some food, take a nap, then go back to, then use that mirror to go back to where you were, then move forward to the next mirror.
And that next mirror will take you to a different place.
No, that next mirror will take you to every mirror that isn't your apartment takes you back to your apartment. Then the mirror in your apartment takes you to the mirror you came through the first time.
No, what I'm saying is, okay, you're at your apartment, you look at the mirror, you go through and you're in area A.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go from area A to area B, and then you look into that mirror and it takes you back to your apartment.
Yes, and then the next time you use the mirror, you go back to area B.
Okay, alright.
That's all the game's about, just moving forward step by step.
And there's not much story going on here.
There is story, like stuff is happening. There's like text boxes and everything. Like, there's this one bit in the story where, like, there are horrible monsters everywhere, then you go to this girl Chie's apartment where she's having a party, then you go outside and there's like some guy standing on her balcony talking to her, and we go, no, Chie comes out, you give her like some kid's doll, and she disappears, you go back inside, everyone's dead. And you're like, oh, okay, what the fuck is going on? Like, your guy actually is like, your guy has no idea what the hell's happening.
Yeah.
And everyone else seems to know what's happening, but they won't tell you. And it is very cool. Like, the ambiguity of it all really helps sell on this world of like actually getting invested. Like, okay, what the fuck is going on? I need to know.
Right.
Yeah. Like, well, one kind of criticism I have about the game so far, I'm only like an hour and a half, 2 hours into it, is it takes a while to get actually creepy.
Yeah.
Like, when I first started it, I wasn't that scared at all. Like, there was one. And the only bit where I kind of got a bit tense was when I went into this weird giant demon anus in the wall. And then I was walking through, and you could only see, like, a foot in front of you, thanks to your flashlight. And then, like, while you're walking through, like, the image would split, so there'd be, like, six of you around in a circle, and you'd just be, like, pull back together, and there's, like, a film grain on it, so you could see just, like, weird things, just, like, uncooked bacon just floating all over the screen, but, like, the opacity turned up real high. And, yeah, and then I just move off of that, and now I'm getting to the point where it's getting really dark, and I can't have my flashlight on at all, because there are, like, three or four monsters in front of me, and if they see my flashlight, they're gonna kill me.
It sounds like Amnesia, but with less immersive graphics, so it'd be slightly less scary.
Yeah, it's...
I'll just say, even Amnesia, like, at least for me, when I was watching the walkthrough of it, I mean, for the first couple episodes, and they're only, like, about 15 minutes long, there's nothing at all scary, other than the idea of creepiness being there, of, like, certain sounds and stuff.
Yeah.
Does the game at least have that, and it's just something that doesn't creep you out?
Yeah, like, the game does have, like, really weird, like, radio hits, like, happening all the time. I don't know,
it's like a radio vomiting.
There's weird noises happening at all times, and then, like, we actually see the monster, and then the monsters actually see you, like, the audio just, like, starts getting more, like, demon wails and shit in it. It is a very atmospheric game, and like I said, it took a while for it to start getting scary for me.
Yeah.
But it's setting up some cool stuff, because, like, the monsters you've been fighting so far have just been dude-sized. And you've been thinking that, oh, so they're just dudes who were turned by the thing that happened. But then I just found a monster that was, like, 10 feet tall with, like, four arms, and the world of demon has, like, okay, that can't be a dude, right?
It's a lot of dudes.
It's a game thing.
Oh.
He never walked in one of those, I guess.
But yeah, Lone Survivor is... So far, I fucking love it. It's a great game. I'm going to be playing more of it, I'm going to be beating it, and then reviewing it hopefully soon.
Okay.
But yeah, thanks Jess Burn for sending me that, and maybe at some point we'll get him on for an interview.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's all about there being a controller for it. I mean, everything else sounds really cool that you've talked about. It's just those kind of controls, I can't do those. I mean, if I can't do those controls, the game's not going to be fun for me.
I'm pretty sure you can.
Maybe we can get him on for an interview and be like, dude, make a fucking mod or something.
There is no, like, options screen to go in and tweak control settings.
Well, I've noticed, like, what, so far for me with games, because I always have my 360 controller plugged into my computer.
Yeah.
And anytime there's a game that has 360 controller capabilities, it automatically just goes to using it. Like, Skyrim. You know, just automatically, you use the controller.
Yeah, but there will still be, like, options for going in and, like, changing key binding and stuff.
I guess it's possible.
They have none of that in that game.
Like, Skyrim is, like, the only real example I got. Like, going into the options of that, there's no... it never shows any options of key binding or anything like that. And I gotta assume this because there's a controller coming into it.
Yeah, I can't imagine that there'd be much to use for a controller in that game, because that game does not seem like the kind.
It's probably not. It's probably, if it did have controls, you'd probably just use a D-pad to go left, right, up, and down, and that's probably it.
Yeah, there isn't even up, down. It's just left, right.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
But yeah, so Love
Survivor. Maybe if I got the review copy.
But yeah, Love Survivor is awesome. Really, check it out, guys. I think it's available on Steam right now for like 10, 20 bucks.
I think it's 10 bucks, I believe.
10 bucks, so why haven't you got this game? Look at you. You know who you are.
Yeah, I'm looking at you too now.
That was the guy that left with him.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah, you.
So yeah, played some. Since I'm here, I'm about to play some Battlefield 3 multiplayer. That's Battlefield 3 multiplayer.
Yeah, it's like the Battlefield 2 multiplayer, only with some of the features gone and more Modern Warfare mixed in.
Yeah, and I also played some Rock Band with Kitty.
And that was kind of fun watching you.
It's a Rock Band.
The Nameless One really hates Rock Band, Guitar Hero, all that type of shit. He despises it.
Why did he have Guitar Hero 3?
He has Guitar Hero 3. I know when I had Guitar Hero 3, he got really pissed. He got really pissed off at it and stopped playing it. Maybe he's changed his ways.
Maybe. But, oh, well, on the news. So, first up, a couple days ago, a 56-page document was posted to Scrib from, purportedly from Microsoft, which outlined details of their next console.
Ooh.
Yeah, so the Xbox 720, that is known to people.
He just used air quotes, people.
Yeah. So the next Xbox should be available for purchase in 2013 for a price point of $300.
Interesting.
With, yes. And it will be coming with the Kinect version, too.
I'm going to say that's much better than the Xbox 360 release. I bought mine pretty close to release, and I spent, like, maybe $600?
Wow.
No, I feel like I'm getting that number wrong. I bought the Elite, and I bought Halo 3.
So, yeah, because,
The Elite at launch was $400.
$450.
$450?
Okay. $450 plus Halo 3, so, like, $500 add tax. Yeah, I spent roughly $600 on my console.
The reason why I know that it was $450 is because I bought it in that next weekend, or that weekend. I bought it on a Thursday or Friday, and that weekend it was $400, and that's where it stayed after that.
Okay, so the new Xbox is going to have some upgrades, such as Blu-ray.
Yeah, naturally.
Yes, it's going to be running Blu-ray, and it will apparently have some kind of always-on functionality to it. They didn't really go into detail about any of that.
I think the Xbox ended up getting something like that with an update, didn't it? With always on being that, like, if you're downloading a game, it'll go into sleep mode when it's done.
Mm-hmm.
I think. It could be.
No, like, isn't it like when you're downloading a game, like, the thing goes into sleep mode, so you keep downloading, then as soon as the download to game system turns off?
Maybe that's what it is.
Yeah, like,
it sounds more realistic.
Like, from the sound of it, it's like, from like, always on, meaning that even when you're not downloading thing, it turns off, it's still on.
I gotta assume it could mean that you're always connected to your Xbox Live account.
It could also mean that at any point you can use the whole Windows 7 Everything's Connected feature to transfer files back and forth.
Smart glass.
I kind of don't like the idea of always on because I like to somewhat conserve energy. I say as I'm using my energy draining PC hooked up to a TV for a monitor. With Dead Man's laptop on.
And the receiver for these things plugged in.
The receiver for the microphones plugged in.
Look, you're not as bad as person design. You're like, any apartment I've ever had, I would walk out of there with whatever lights I had on and my TVs left on. And yes, TVs. Because I used to have two TVs, one for TV, one for video games. And I would just leave them on, pause whatever it is that I'm playing. Just everything would be on as if everyone's home.
Okay, so well, new Xbox will also. One thing that it won't be having is any kind of blocking of second-hand and pre-owned titles.
What do you mean?
Like, that's kind of been a big push. Like, people have been saying, like, like developers and like publishers and stuff, like these big companies have been trying to push like the idea of fuck secondhand and pre-owned titles, like want everyone to buy everything new, like secondhand games, GameStop are like destroying whatever. And some people have been speculating that like the next generation of consoles will have some kind of like
way to stop that.
Yeah, some way of stopping that, but there was no mention of that anywhere in this document.
Well, it doesn't really make sense to me. I mean, I guess I've heard that that there is ways for like Microsoft and Sony to make that possible. But why would they do that? Not only for the game, the used game sales aspect, but for renting games. Like, Gamefly would be out of business, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it just seems really stupid to me.
I think, honestly, if they tried to do that, then Gamefly and other similar services could probably sue them for monopolistic practices.
Yeah.
Because you're not allowed to create monopolies. I'm guessing that that would be somehow illegal. To cause that kind of strife for companies like that.
I think the only loophole I see in that is if, like, Microsoft and Sony would be like, well, we're not monopolizing it because all these companies are the ones making those games. That's the only kind of loophole I could see with that.
There would be some sort of legal battle over it.
Okay, so with like the actual console thing, the document, it also talked about cloud services. Like, they're going to be offering more cloud services and more, like, software through the cloud. Which, and apparently that means that people will never have to buy hardware again.
Hardware as in...
Like consoles and shit. Like the 720, you'll be able to get that, and then just be able to use the cloud for everything, and not have to go out and buy, like, the Xbox 1080.
Yeah, I said this a while ago. I even, like, predicted that, like, these ones, this next generation of consoles is really probably going to be the last generation of consoles.
Yeah, Jaffe agrees with you.
There's going to be no need for it. You'll be able to update everything over the internet, and cloud can overcome your hardware inadequacies. The only reason people will buy a new console is because they want the same power without using the internet, and that's just kind of stupid.
Yeah.
How is cloud able to upgrade the graphics of the console?
Well, you have to remember that cloud is able to operate just through your TV without, like, any hardware whatsoever. It basically uses a server where it's using someone else's hardware to run it, and it's just streaming it to you. So
yeah, that's why
any hardware inefficiencies you have can be handled by somebody else.
Yeah, that's why something like OnLive can be used to like stream out the gameplay of like a top tier PC game on something that can barely run like a fucking flash game.
So basically you're saying that it'll be more than just saving your save game on the cloud. Everything will run from the cloud.
Yeah, like you could have like your console doing like some of the work, but then like once it gets up to a certain point, they have like a cloud server take over so that can like pump up the graphics quality much higher without putting too much of a strain on your console.
Yeah, there's actually the one interesting thing at Dig 2011 was this whole this guy gave this whole presentation on the future of cloud gaming and how console gaming is really going to decline and eventually be replaced by cloud. I don't think it'll be permanently replaced. And I think that's why the console makers are making the move to adapt to cloud technology.
Yeah. So, moving on, the Kinect V2 is going to have some new features. So, it'll be able to track your motions while you're sitting down.
But whoever does that,
it'll be able to do it better.
Okay.
Because apparently with some of the games where you're like having to do like the hand thing, some of the games they can't really tell your hand movements when you're sitting down.
Okay.
Yeah, so they'll have better off for that. You'll be able to do, be able to track four players' motions simultaneously.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, for a precision game, it's like Dance Sense, you'll be able to have, like, four dudes going at once instead of just two. And finally, the Kinect will be able to adapt itself to your living room, so you won't have to be able to, like, rearrange your entire living room to be able to play with Kinect.
Which means I would actually be able to use it, because, as you can see from this living room here, it's not exactly set up well for the Kinect.
Well, as we can see, not the...
Well, I'm pretty sure he was talking to us.
I know, but people out there don't know that.
Well, they do now.
Yeah.
As you in the audience can clearly see, my entire living room.
Yeah, and so, finally, the document talked about something called Fortaleza, which is Microsoft's attempt at alternate augmented reality goggles. Yep.
Yeah, I don't think glass technology needs to be used anytime soon.
Yeah, so the new glasses will be connected to the next Xbox with either Wi-Fi or 4G connections, and it's playing for launch of 2014.
A lot of this stuff is just like possibilities and like set in stone.
Yeah, like, a lot of these documents like dated back to 2010, so we're not entirely sure if it's actually accurate or not.
Yeah.
So all that's happening. So, moving on. After Crytek's next two games, Homefront 2 and Crysis 3, what do you do?
You mean Far Cry?
No, you did not.
No, you did not.
Damn it, Jax. Don't touch anything.
You seriously terrified us there for a minute.
The mouse was ready to fall, so I was keeping
it. Yeah, so after they are finished developing Crysis 3 and Homefront 2, Crytek will make exclusively free-to-play games.
Homefront 2? Are you sure you're not talking about Far Cry 3?
That's Ubisoft. Yeah, so, Crytek CEO, Savat Yearly, has said that, as we were developing console games, we knew very clearly that the future is online and free-to-play. Right now, we are in a transitional phase of our company, transitioning from packaged goods into entirely free-to-play experience. What this entails is that our future, all of the new games that we are working on, as well as new projects, new platforms, and technologies, are designed around free-to-play and online with highest quality development. So the thing they're doing is they're going to be still making all their games with a AAA budget, but everything's going to be free.
So, but are we talking MMOs?
No, we're talking, like, first-person shooters.
But, of course, that means there will be a bit of an elitist system with them whereby, you know, the people with the best weapons are going to be the people who are paying for these games.
You're gonna have the people that are, like, I'm sure they're going to have to do something where if you rank so high, you unlock a weapon or pay $5 and you get the weapon. That because of that, you're gonna have people just.
Yeah, like this is. Like, they are currently just, like, about to release their first attempt at this called Warface, which is their first free to play thing, which is actually going to be only available on their new social gaming platform, GFace. So they've actually developed an entire platform just for their own free to play games. So yeah, Yearly also said, as evident in Warface, our approach is to ensure the best quality console game quality. That implies a budget of between $10 million and $30 million, so no compromise there, but the price point of $0 entry. I think this is a new breed of games that has to happen to change the landscape and be the most gamer-friendly business model.
How does this not sound ridiculous to anyone? $30 million and give it away for free? I mean, they must be expecting a lot of money back from people buying shit from those games.
Well, if you make a shooter that's sort of on the same level of Creed or with the multiplayer as, like, Call of Duty, you'll make that money back.
Yeah.
Just on people wanting to download the better weapons and skins and emblems and stupid shit like that.
Right, but that's what I'm saying is like, they must be banking on that because it's just $30 million. I mean, okay, look, what do we have compare that to really for a first person shooter that's free to play, Team Fortress 2. It didn't cost $30 million to make that. So, you know, obviously, whatever they spend on it, I'm pretty sure by now the game's made some money back. But I mean, if you're going to spend $30 million to make a game and then give it away for free, like Team Fortress 2, it's going to take a long time to get that money back or something.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, it just seems crazy to me. Like, it's cool that they're doing it, it just seems dangerous.
Oh yeah, they haven't done anything like this. They've never used a free-to-play model. They've always done just packaged products. This is their first attempt at it, so they're either going to succeed or fail miserably and probably go out of business.
The only thing I can say is that these games are going to have to be geared towards douchebag kids with rich parents. That's the only way they're actually going to make their money back. And if they gear their games towards those people, I'm not that interested, although they'd be free to play, so maybe I'd play them.
Well, the first game they're making is called Warface. So, with a name like that,
that's
how can they not?
Kiddies.
Yeah.
This could be her game.
Yeah. So, moving on. Naughty Bear is getting a sequel. So, Naughty Bear is a weird game for the site, because back when Desktop Prods was only a YouTube channel, that was one of the first trailers I uploaded to it.
Mm-hmm.
And so that, and the game actually had a fantastically interesting premise of you, of like, you're living on an island that's inhabited completely by teddy bears, and then one day Naughty Bear does get invited to a birthday party, so he kills everyone.
But not only is it like all teddy bears, but it's all everything, all the bears and all the stuff, all the environment is all cute and cuddly and stuff, right?
Yeah, except for you. You're just like, everyone is all like brightly colored and very soft and everything. You're like worn down, you're like missing an ear, you have staples all over you to hold your stuffing in. And you just look like an ugly motherfucker, and you're just going around murdering everyone with a fucking machete.
Right.
Yeah, so now they're making a sequel to it. It's going to be called Naughty Bear Panic in Paradise, where they all go to a tropical island and get brutally murdered.
Yay for murder!
Yeah, so this game is going to be a downloadable title. It's not going to be available on disc like the first game was. Which I feel like was, I feel like it's a good direction for them, because like the first game didn't just set the world on fire.
Right.
So having it be like $15 instead of the $60 is probably a good move for them, because that way people will be more inclined to buy it out of interest. It's like they never heard of Naughty Bears, like, oh, I'll give you murder teddy bears. $15. Yeah, sure.
I never played the first one, but like anything that I've heard from it seems like close but too far away from being a good game. Like it's almost there.
Yeah, last time I checked, the Metascore was at, 54.
Yeah.
So it had some good ideas, just bad execution.
So, hopefully, what they'll do is they'll listen to the things that people wanted, and, listen to the fans, basically,
yeah.
And the sequel will actually be a decent game.
Yeah, so I'll be trying to get my hands on a copy of that when it comes out. No release date has been given, but it's going to be coming out next LA and PSN.
Yeah.
So, moving on. Australia has finally gotten itself an R18 rating for video games.
Oh, finally. I mean, what was the last mature game that they released? Dead Island? And that was they didn't release Left 4 Dead.
No, they released Left 4 Dead, but they cut out all, the splatter effects, all the blood and stuff.
I believe, Dead Island was the only one that wasn't severely censored.
Yeah, up to this point, Australia has only had, an MA 15+ rating, meaning that they couldn't bring in games that were higher than a T rating over here. But now, without legislation has passed, that they're finally getting an R18 rating, so they'll be able to bring over their M-rated games without being horribly censored.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, in America, they want to further censor games, and that's bad.
Yeah, so, moving on. Watch Dogs, probably Death Door Claw, one of our favorite things from E3.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, Ubisoft's already preparing to make a movie out of it. Yeah,
Japanese.
Yeah. Ubisoft is French.
Ubisoft is everything.
It started in France, though.
Have you watched the openings for Assassin's Creed?
Yes, I have. But any time they bring up, here's Ubisoft president, Frenchman.
Look, alright, the point is Japan loves to take the anything that shows the slightest bit of interest, and they'll, do everything with it.
Actually, Japan isn't so much into the live-action movies. That's much more North American thing. They're more likely to make an anime out of something.
Yeah.
True, yeah, I guess that's probably more American thing than the Japanese thing, when you put it that way.
Yeah, so Ubisoft has gone out and bought up as many domain names as they can, all of them a variation on watchdogmovie.com.
Oh, so this is probably just, and that's all the information we have?
It's a preemptive thing of hey, if Watch Dogs are going to do a big thing, here's a movie.
Yeah.
So, Rob Schneider, rated PG-13.
I mean, way to ruin the movie, but, if all it is, if all the information we got on that is that they bought a domain name or two, then it's that isn't, it's nothing, it's probably not even in the back of their mind, it's just we better buy it just in case, because you don't want some douchebag charging us $10,000 for it. Mm.
Yeah. Okay, moving on. So, Anarchy Reigns, the pseudo-sequel to Mad World.
Move on.
Get delayed till 2013.
There we go.
Yeah, so the game is still scheduled for release in Japan this July. But for some reason, it's been delayed in America and Europe until Q1 2013.
Okay, let's move on. Because we have about 6 minutes to finish this up.
Yeah, okay. So Metal Gear Rising Revengeance hasn't even been released yet. And they already announced DLC for it.
What's the DLC?
So, the DLC...
If you play as Snake, I'm throwing this mic at your face.
will allow you to play. So just according to this thing, so according to Yuji Kotokata, a producer from Kojima Productions, said that the DLC will allow you to play maybe as a different character or some new missions.
Why?
Because they don't think Raiden can carry an entire game.
I think they, to me, alright, look. Speaking as the lone, I think it's fair to say I'm the lone Metal Gear hardcore fan here. Going from that I hated Raiden to thinking Raiden was kick-ass to I don't know if I want Raiden in a game as your own to thinking, oh, I don't like where this is going with this action-y kind of Devil May Cry kind of stuff to thinking this is actually really badass Raiden. I don't want to play as someone else. Just leave it the fuck alone. Yeah. And who, I mean...
I don't know, Liquid Ocelot?
You finally come to accept Raiden. And now they want to get someone else in there.
Yeah, right? I mean, coming from, like, the E3, you know, watching the gameplay trailer, because I was really worried about how they're giving off that Devil May Cry kind of look of jumping around.
Yeah.
But, like, they give good reasons, I thought, for that, where they're saying, like, in Metal Gear Solid 4, where Raiden looked kick-ass, the only time you've seen him being kick-ass is in these cutscenes, so you never got to play those parts. And it's like, you know what, they're absolutely right. His cutscenes were, like, probably the best part of the cutscenes of Metal Gear Solid 4, and that's all it was, is watching him do it. And now they're giving you the ability to do that stuff, and it's like, I'm in.
Yeah, and it's Platinum Games, like, if nothing else, they make shit look awesome.
Right, yeah. And I just don't want to play someone else.
And it's still keeping the, like, really cool cutting mechanic of...
Who's the other person could it be? Because this is kind of a backstory to Metal Gear Solid 4. I'd be in... No, because he's dead. Spoiler alert.
It's fucking Metal Gear, dude. It's Hideo Kojima. He could probably, like, make some stupid thing of, like, oh, he was actually in, like, some magical sleep brought on by nanomachines. You could play Psycho Mantis.
I believe this game takes place between Metal Gear Solid 2 and Metal Gear Solid 4. And basically, I assume it gives kind of like the story of why Raiden became the ninja that he was in Metal Gear Solid 4. So Gray Fox can't be in it because he's gone. The only thing I can think of is Vam. Fuck that dude.
I just mentioned is
Vam.
The only thing I know about Metal Gear, I learned.
You don't know anything that I just mentioned, even though Gray Fox is one of them, which is the guy you brought up.
The only thing I know from Metal, the only thing stuff I know about Metal Gear is stuff I learned from Metal Gear Awesome, and the Heem-Daisy comics.
I've never seen either of those two things, but I gotta assume that's a lot of making fun of Metal Gear.
It really is. Yeah, so that's happening. So
I know that Snake hides in cardboard boxes.
Yeah, so moving on. Amazon is currently having pre-orders for the collector's edition of God of War Ascension. So in the collector's edition, it will have an exclusive 8-inch Kratos statue, a premium steel book case.
Well, that's the UK version, I believe.
Amazon.com. Yeah, so, a digital version of the official game soundtrack, a PS3 dynamic theme, a PSN avatar pack, multiplayer double XP unlock, because I guess there's multiplayer now in God of War.
Yeah.
Fuck. And past and future DLC content. But... That's a bit redundant.
I was about to ask how you do QuickTime events in multiplayer, but I've played a Dragon Ball Z game, so I actually know how you do that.
Whoever does it first?
No, it's one player basically sets what the QuickTime buttons are while the other one has to try and hit them.
They did something like that in, did something like that in Mortal Kombat vs. DCU. Like the test your strength games of, like, you'd be the... Like, whenever you got, like, CQC with a guy, he, like, hit a button, he had to, like, hit the button. You had to hit the same button in order to get, hit on him without having him tap it. But, yeah. So, the collector's edition is available for $80.
Doesn't sound bad.
Yeah.
Only $20 more.
Yeah. And so, finally, a Facebook group has started a petition to make Time Splitters 4. So the group called 100,000 strong for Time Splitters 4, hoping to get Crytek's attention by getting 100,000 people to sign up for this group and maybe get Time Splitters 4. Maybe.
You know how many people pay attention to those groups?
Absolutely none.
Nobody. Let's move on.
Not gonna do it for news.
Awesome. I don't think we have time for news. We've got places to be.
Yeah, we do.
No, we don't. Not today, we don't.
What's that? Hurry up, make one. Ghost Recon Future Soldier.
Quantum Conundrum.
There we go.
Quantum Conundrum. What is it?
It's a new game from the lady who made Portal. And Walking Dead Episode 2 comes out next week.
God damn it.
Okay, actually, I'm interested in that, and that's all I'm going to say about it.
And Spec Ops Online comes out next week.
Shut up! That's it, we're done. Outro.
Fine, bitch. So, those can follow us on Twitter, call us at Desert Frogs. I'm at Denman, Notice for Deep Frogs. We got at Bubba 1, at Fuck Shacks. We're on iTunes, please grab us on there. We're on Facebook, like us on there. Part of the RSS, leave us comments, reviews, let us know what you want to see more of, less of, all that shit. We got our extra like, we got forums, we got stuff. Be sure to come back on Thursday for any anime podcast, and Friday for our Jaws commentary track. Till next time, I'm dead.
I'm Bobby Wan.
I'm Shax, and we're out of here, bye.
See you guys next time.